Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50 on the Ambitious Radio Network. And today, guys, we have an absolute superstar on the show. He is a founding national consultant with Ambit Energy, multi-million dollar income earner. He is also a top 10 income earner. He has over 20,000 consultants. But let's rewind it just a little bit. Let's go back to before he got involved in Ambit back in 2006. He was also one of the original founding field folks in Excel Communications, one of the top three income earners there. He is a nationally acclaimed speaker in direct sales and really is an expert in cold market prospecting. Help me welcome to the show, Mr. Lane Winsett. How are you, sir?
I'm doing super, Doug. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Well, I am always just humbled to be able to speak with all of the giants of the shoulders that we all stand on in Ambit Energy, the folks that started. I often hear folks talk about, hey, when we first started this thing, it was a hope and a prayer. There wasn't anybody wearing, you know, yellow jackets and purple jackets and all these kinds of things. There weren't these business presentations. It was, you know, in the back of a napkin, and you guys have developed an incredible business for us, the next generation, to come in and stand on your shoulders and build it to the next level, and so appreciative of what you guys have done. Let's kind of jump into the interview, and let's just talk about, you know, what it was like. I mean, you were part of a very successful deregulation in the past of another public utility. And, you know, through that transition, and then the Ambit opportunity came your way. So can you talk about your why and what you were doing then and what made you decide to jump on the team and get going back in 2006?
Sure. I think even going back further than that into 1989, when I joined XL Telecommunications, I think it's important to express that I had no previous network marketing experience. I was working in the personal growth and development field in Austin, Texas, for SMI and LMI, Leadership Management Incorporated, umbrella, really selling personal growth and development materials to upper level CEOs, CFOs, COOs, all those O's. And, you know, really enjoyed helping people reach their God-given potential through personal growth and development. And so I really was on a course in my life to do that as my goal. Had really worked with other companies that sold products in the networking field to help them learn how to close sales or overcome stalls and objections or just selling techniques, but really never participated in a network marketing MLM or what we call a direct sales environment. But back then I was asked to come on board early on by the two founders of Excel, help them develop training materials and to kind of kickstart, if you will, their marketing plan. I didn't, once again, know a lot about it, but what they shared with me was that the telecommunications industry was going to deregulate and was in the process of that, and that those that participated after the deregulation took place were going to be able to actually be part of this huge wave or transition of wealth in the telecommunications industry. Remember, keep in mind, it was all Ma Bell back then, and if you were going to make a one-plus calling to a one-plus call to your grandmother, you were going to make it to and through Bell. So they had a monopoly. Judge Green ruled that monopoly was to be broken up. And in doing so, they allowed free competition to come into place, and that's where the doors kind of flung open. And this opportunity was available for small companies or large to participate in an industry that they'd been literally locked out of for over 100 years. So that kind of got my interest. And then when they said, look, Lane, here's the way this is going to work. We're going to go out and build a sales organization where customers are going to sell this service called One Plus Dialing, And every time that somebody dials one to area code the number, you're going to get like little slivers of pennies that fall in a black box under a phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, kind of like a little mini oil well. And I thought, wow, that's pretty exciting. And I'd never really known what truthfully residual income was, unless it was maybe an insurance salesperson that I'd heard got paid over and over again on something that they did last week, last month, or last year. So it kind of enticed me. I went to work with Excel. And then, of course, you know, that's where one of our founders came from, Chris Chambliss, who started out as one of the first employees with Excel, worked his way all the way up into upper management with the company, and really himself also got kind of the bug of understanding that deregulation was going to be a huge thing. And never in our wildest expectation did we realize that company would go on to become one of the fastest companies ever to hit $1 billion in revenue, creating almost in excess of 2,000 millionaires and some of the wealthiest people ever to really be in direct sales or network marketing. And it was by marrying the concept of one plus dialing and direct sales, which nobody had ever networked a service before successfully. So after a long time with that company and a lot of success, of course, eventually retired and went into retirement. One of the people that I personally sponsored into Excel, who was also very successful, and of course we all know his name if you've been in Ambit Energy for any length of time, he's the second top money earner in the company, Philip Eckhart. I had sponsored Philip into Excel, and then of course when it came time for him to make a phone call to me, I don't know that there would have been anybody that could have brought me kind of out of retirement, so to speak, other than Philip. He called me up. He said, look, Lane, there's something really magical about to happen. The deregulation of public utilities is taking place where we got paid on an average $30 to $50 average long distance bill. This is going to be, imagine getting paid on $100, $200, $300, even $500 bill. So he got my attention. I drove up to Dallas, spent some quality time with, of course, Philip and Steve. Thompson that was there at that time, as well as which was a good friend of Phillips, and then of course I got a chance to visit with Chris Chambliss and of course our CEO Jerry Thompson Jr. And I was just extremely impressed with the operation, with their enthusiasm, the systems they put in place, and of course their track record. And so I went to work with that company in October of 2006 as a founding national consultant, and they wanted me to kind of repeat what I did with Excel to kind of get things up and running as a Kickstarter, kind of ether down the carburetor, so to speak, for all the mechanics out there that know how to start a big blower, a 454 blower, which is what I felt like sitting on the tarmac there. I was really excited that, like you said earlier on the call, you know, we really didn't have the tools and all of the weapons of war, if you will, that we have today, which is really exciting to see the company kind of and achieving the goals that we've accomplished in a very short period of time, going into now our 10th year anniversary.
You know, it's real exciting. I mean, I'm hearing you throw these names out there and just the different things that I've not really heard. I did not realize that you had personally sponsored Philip Eckhart in Excel and, you know, retired, and he's the one that brought you into to Ambit. So it's great seeing these opportunities and how the friend and how people, you know, continue to get folks, you know, into other opportunities, you know, such as that whenever the Excel opportunity after you had retired and that had long since gone away. So let's talk about your why, because I get it when you're making, you know, all this money, that's why you did it. Now you retired. Now you fast forward, and now you're investing time with little old Doug Parker, as a relatively small fish in the Ambit world. I'm a senior consultant, and we'll be at, and you can mark this down, by the time this airs, I am going to be that much closer to executive consultant. We're about 4 weeks out from Ambition, and I will be executive by then. But with that being said, what makes you continue to invest in Ambit and continue to do the things? Because I'm not in your pay line anywhere, so I'm appreciative of you jumping on and sharing with everyone. But what makes you continue? What's your why now?
Well, I have a lot of whys. You know, one of the things that I think is so important is that we only are here for a limited period of time. And in order for us to accomplish the goals, dreams, and aspirations that we want to accomplish as an individual, it's very difficult doing that as a job or having a job. Working for another corporation or a company, you know, as an employee, certainly limits your time picture. Because freedom of time is really what success is all about. You can have a lot of money, but, you know, the goal, of course, is to be able to be in charge of your time, because through that, it allows you then to go out and really start to think about some specific goals that you want to accomplish and having the time to be able to work towards those goals. You know, I'm a musician as well as an artist. I like art and music. I always have been kind of outside the box guy as far as the cultural, I love rock and roll. I like country music. I love modern art. And those are things that I enjoy personally that I you know, find rewarding, if you will, in my own life, and something that I want to leave my kids as far as my art. And I enjoy making music. But I don't really do it to make a living. I do it for fun. I do it for my enjoyment. I have been very blessed with two beautiful daughters. One of my youngest daughter is autistic, and she's nonverbal. So, you know, one of the things that I have to be cognizant of and aware of is that, you know, it's very difficult as a parent of a special needs child to make sure that over my lifetime, because when I'm up in heaven there with Elvis and Jesus, so to speak, and my mom and a lot of other relatives, hopefully I'll make it there. You know, my daughter still has the ability to outlive me. She's very healthy, otherwise being autistic, and certainly I want to make sure that she's taken care of, and that it's not going to be a burden on my older daughter as well. So there's a lot of things that deal with the family that I'm very motivated to make sure and assure that are going to be there for them and their future. And then, of course, I also want to look towards the next 10 years. You know, I just turned 60 this year, so I'm not a spring chicken, but, you know, 60 years old in most corporate arenas, you'd be run off and put out to pasture in a lot of cases, or maybe, you know, replaced by two young bucks, or so to speak. The great thing about Ambit Energy is that it doesn't really matter how old you are, is what's in your heart and what you want to do. And if you want to continue to move forward and work in this business, you can work at it at your leisure and you know, continue to fulfill your goals and not feel that you're ever worried about being terminated or being let go or downsized or bought out by some major company that's going to interfere with your goals and income goals. So I would say my why has to do with my family and my personal goals of art and music that I enjoy doing.
You know, that's great. And, you know, with you being a multimillion-dollar income earner, some people might think that, you know, if you've never experienced that before, they might think that you've got everything in the world or this, why would you continue to do it? But there are continued things, and I love the part about the art, but more importantly, you know, taking care of the family. You know, long term, what outlives you, Ambit is transferable, willable, and all of those things, and it gives you that opportunity to continue to take care of the family. You know, at some point, hopefully many, many years, decades from now, when you're gone and up to heaven, as you say. Now, let's talk about when you are working with someone and you're, you know, maybe looking at personally sponsoring them, going into the cold market. I know you're an expert at that. Can you share a little bit about kind of what that looks like and how you approach someone and how others might do that after they go through their warm list?
Well, you said the key word, approach. You know, there's a saying, I'd rather be a master prospector than a wizard of speech and have no one to tell my story to. And what that means is that after you exhaust your warm market, you really don't ever exhaust it technically. But I look at your warm market as, and let's start first there, because that's what is really the nucleus of our business, if you will, or the catalyst of our business of why it works, is the warm connectivity. And then I'll branch into the cold market for a second. But the warm market, really, I look at it as you capitalizing your business. In other words, nobody wants to go into business being undercapitalized. That's the number one reason why people go out of business. And so the working capital that somebody brings you when you sponsor an individual into business as a warm market prospect, friend, brother, cousin, niece, nephew, ex-boss, somebody you know in your church or civic organization, somebody you grew up with. These are people that you have a warm market center of influence with and a friendship with and a relationship. And they bring that to your business. But more importantly, what they really truthfully bring to your business is their warm market capital. And their warm market capital is their people, the people that they have, that they know, their centers of influence that they say and are willing to tap into in order to capitalize both their business and your business. And if somebody's not willing to make a list, prioritize a list, and then let you squeeze the lemon on that list by getting them in front of the correct story, whether that be a DVD, a Success from Home magazine, a one-on-one, two-on-one, a three-way call, a major conference, you know, a bridge conference call. Could be an array of different exposures, if you will, that you'll kind of walk them through gate one, gate two, gate three, because not everybody's going to swallow the pill or, you know, see the vision right out of the saddle. I mean, different people need different levels of exposure predicated on what type of individual they are and what they're looking for in life. But it's important that people sit down and understand the value associated with somebody bringing their warm market capital to your business. And if they don't bring their warm market to your business and to their business, then you just went into business with an undercapitalized business partner, which means you have set them up and yourself up for failure. So what normally happens is that when you start to build your business and you start to make your warm market list, or you get a warm market list made from the people that you sponsor, I always try to suggest, look, go back to old school, get you a 5-subject notebook. Get it with a yellow cover on the outside. Go, you know, go to Office Depot or Office Max or one of those stores and specifically look for a 5-subject yellow college notebook. And in that notebook, that's going to be kind of your Bible. You know, take and get your checkbook out, write 2 checks to yourself for $1 million. You know, write them out for at least, I'd say, 3 to 5 years out, okay, to be very conservative is a realistic goal. Make the check out for $1 million to you, cashable within a 3 to 5 year, 3 years if you really are going to be full-time or working as hard as you possibly can. I'd say 5 years on a stretch goal, which is realistic. And then staple that check to the inside cover of that 5-subject notebook. Take the other check and tape it up there in your mirror in your restroom where you get groomed every day and brush your teeth and you know, or if you're a lady putting your makeup on, where you can visualize that $1 million check, because that's a very important thing, is that in order for you to become a millionaire in this business or in this industry, you first got to want to be. And let me say that again, you first got to want to be. In other words, it all starts in the mind, and you have to give yourself permission to want to be a millionaire. And through that permission, giving yourself permission, because we've been told all our life, you know, sit down, shut up, don't talk to the girl next to you, don't bite off more than you can chew, don't love when you're not wanted, you could never do it, nobody on the block ever did it, how the heck do you expect to do it? And you're constantly bombarded by all these negative thoughts about wealth and, you know, being people that are wealthy or greedy and manipulative and power mongers and pushy and uppity and womanizers and greedy. You know, you think of people like J.R. Ewing from Dallas, and all of those visuals, if you will, all that subconscious programming that you get from the media and from other people that are around us goes into your subconscious mind, which is your hard drive, so to speak, and then your operating system, which is your conscious mind, taps into that. And so subsequently, it's whatever your attitude is towards wealth that's going to determine your GPS of whether or not you're ever going to achieve that goal. So it's very, very important through that 5-subject notebook to sit down, staple that check to the front of that, the inside cover of that book. You know, sit down then and make your warm market list out. Start out with your own warm market list. And from your own warm market list, then learn an effective approach that you're comfortable with. The reason why I use an effective approach is it's kind of like fishing. You know, if you first start out, you know, teaching kids how to fish, and you've ever done that before, you know that what happens is that you can cast out there and they get what's called the backlash right out of the saddle. When you spend 30 minutes to an hour trying to get their line undone. Well, over a period of time, as you start to cast the rod and you teach them to cast the rod, you get better and better at it. Eventually, you get to where you can land the bait right by the bank there where the fish are at and pop the cork a couple of times and attract a fish and get the right kind of fish that you want to buy, that you want to bite. The same thing goes for prospecting. You know, your fishing pole, if you will, your ability to cast, your ability to catch fish every day is directly determined on your ability to learn an effective approach that gets to the bottom of whether or not a person is a live or Memorex. In other words, are they a prospect or are they not a prospect? And because a lot of times people spend a tremendous amount of time spending time with people that really are not prospects in our business. So it's a sorting process. And through an effective approach, it very quickly allows you to determine whether that person is a good prospect for your business. Now, there are really five things that I look for as personality characteristic traits in somebody that I want to personally sponsor into my business, whether they're warm market or cold market. And it's important that not all and everybody are going to possess all five of these things, but if you can get a compilation of just two or three of them, or even one of them, which is the most important, it will help you have a much better, higher quality prospect or recruit when you bring them into business. Let's go over the five things real quick, if I could, Doug. Number one, money motivated. I'm always looking for people who are money motivated. That's one of the that's the top priority for me when I'm looking for a prospect, because people who are money motivated have a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and personal motivation to take the actions necessary to do the things that you ask them to do. In other words, the litmus test for you is when you're talking to a new recruit and you're asking them to get on a three-way call or plug into a conference call or come to a national event or impending event or a company overview or, you know, just meet you at Starbucks, for God's sakes, at a certain time. They have to be motivated to do that. If they're not, then you're going to find yourself dragging people, kicking and screaming against their will through the doorway of success, or you're going to be herding chickens a lot, which is not really a very effective way to build an organization. You want to be able to identify, key in on people who are money motivated, and that's very, very important. That's the first personality characteristic trait I look for. The second is goal-directed. I want somebody who is fired up and excited about goals. They might only have cosmos goals. You know, they might want to buy a new house, might want to buy a new car. Normally, these are going to be, at first, materialistic things that they're going to be interested in having. You know, as far as I'm concerned, God put them on the planet, so we're here. If you worked your fanny off for them, you should have them. But as they mature in their goal setting and as they start to take their cosmos goals that are out there floating around just in the cosmos and start to put them down on paper in their subject yellow college notebook in their goal section, and they start to write out their dreams list, then they become more specific, more tangible, with a specific deadline for their attainment. And that's where they start to crystallize their thinking, and in doing so, that once again throws fuel on the fire to motivate them to take action. So goal-directed is very, very important. And then once they move from materialistic goals to philanthropic goals, which is ultimately where everybody does eventually move that has a lot of money. In other words, if you look at people that have earned tremendous amounts of money, a lot of times they already have all the things that they want in life. Now they want to make an impact on society or leave a legacy behind. And in doing so, that's what money allows you to do, once again, having freedom and time and the ability to take action on those goals. So in doing so, philanthropic goals become very, very important, maybe, you know, to help your church or mosque or synagogue or some medical research, or might be, like, for instance, me with autistic children or other things that you might have that interest them. So the third thing that I look for in somebody is somebody that has a burning desire to succeed. A burning desire to succeed means that they have this internal glow. They have this extra enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, it comes from a Greek word meaning God within. It's that magic dust, the Superman cape, the bulletproof vest that allows you to kind of walk through walls. Enthusiasm is the unsaid conversation that goes on between you and the prospect, you and the new customer, that says, I will buy. I, I'll buy it. I don't care what you're selling. I want a piece of it. And the only way to get enthusiastic is through knowledge comes belief, comes enthusiasm. In other words, the people that are listening to this call here today or tonight, whenever they listen to it, they're gaining knowledge. And through this knowledge, through the repetitiveness of listening to it over and over again and spaced repetition, not just once, but plugging back in and listening to this call 15, 20, 30, 40 times, they're going to internalize that information. So they're going to start to then believe in what they're hearing because they're going to see the results from that. And then through that belief, they become enthusiastic. And enthusiasm is one of the most important things that you can acquire. And the only way you can acquire it is through knowledge comes belief, comes enthusiasm. The fourth thing that I look for is somebody who has a strong, positive center of influence. And what I mean by that is if you want to move from RC to SC to EC to NC and do it very, very rapidly, the ignition switch, if you will, how you drop dynamite down your downline and explode it to where it becomes a raging inferno of success is through the power of center of influence. Center of influence is the most powerful thing that you can try to utilize in building a massive organization, because birds of a feather flock together. So when you go out and you sponsor a football coach, a school administrator, a politician, a sheriff, a fire chief, a doctor, a lawyer, a CPA, an attorney, a school principal, when you go out and you sponsor pastors of churches, when you sponsor people that know a lot of people that have a strong positive center of influence, these people can just pick up the phone and make dominoes knock over. They can explode your business in a very, very short period of time. And if you'll look back at most people that have had a tremendous amount of success very quickly within their organization and move through the plan very quickly, it's because they have tapped into, or somebody within their organization has tapped into the nation, a person who has a positive, powerful center of influence. The fifth thing I look for is the glow. The glow is that unsaid common denominator that I will tell you that is just kind of exudes and oozes out of people. In other words, it's that glow of enthusiasm. They're always smiling. They have a warm personality. They're good communicators. They're laughing. They're people. They like to, help people. These are people that just have that aura about them that is so exciting. So when we look back through those five, money-motivated, goal-directed, burning desire to succeed, strong, positive center of influence, and the ideal, perfect candidate. Now, getting back to the approach that I have taught people over the years that has been very, very effective for me, may not be effective for you, but it's been effective for tens of thousands of people that I've trained across the country in direct sales, is a simple approach. It's a simple question, because telling ain't selling, asking is. It's your ability to break the ice, make a friend, find common ground, and do it very quickly. And also, once again, have a litmus test to determine whether or not that individual is receptive to your message. And that question that I ask people is, do you consider yourself a money-motivated person? And I'll just ask anybody that. I'll walk up to somebody and say, hey, excuse me, sir, let me ask you a question. You sure look like a successful person. You probably don't know me from Adam, but I just have to ask you, do you consider yourself a money-motivated person? You sure seem like somebody who looks like an entrepreneur to me. And then I shut up and I don't say a word, and I watch their body language. I listen to their voice inflection. I watch their eyes. I listen to how they respond back to me to that question. Because that question, do you consider yourself a money-motivated person, goes to the core, remember, the number one thing I look for, which is money motivation. If they respond back to me and go, no, not really, well, I'm not going to be spending a lot of time with them, am I? Or if they come back and say, yeah, maybe, what you got? Well, that's a half-glass empty person. Will always be a pessimist. That's where you're going to try to bite down on that lead, thinking that that person could be a good prospect, and they very well might be, but you're always going to find yourself a lot of times having to convince that individual or continually be under a test, if you will, of Vive or Memorex, or is this, you know, convincing them that this is a good opportunity? What I'm looking for, and the only thing I look for, is when somebody comes back to me and I say, do you consider yourself a money motivated person? They say, money motivated? You're doggone right I'm money motivated. What you got? That's a different kind of what you got. And they're perked up, they're excited, they're attentive to your message. And then I say, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought of alternative ways of making money? That's another question. Telling ain't selling, asking is. Do you consider yourself a money motivated person? They answer it yes, positively. Well, have you ever thought of alternative ways of making money? Yes, they answer that positive. And then I go into, if I could, would you? If I could show you how you could earn maybe an extra $2,000 to $3,000 a month working part-time with me in the energy business, would that be something that might be of interest to you? If I could show you a way that you could earn an extra $2,000 to $3,000 a month working part-time with me in the energy business, would that be something that might be of interest to you? Yes. Okay. Well, from that point on, if they respond negatively or positively from that response, and you've gotten that far, then you've got a pretty good prospect, because they've answered yes to three specific questions you've asked them. And now your job is not to spill your popcorn in the lobby before the picture show. And this is where everybody makes the big mistake. They want to tell everybody everything that they can think of about the business. Well, your goal there is only to break the ice, make a friend, find common ground, identify a Class A prospect, have them answer the questions positively, and then document. You want to get their information. Well, let me ask you a question. What was your name, sir? My name is Frank. Frank, but you look at your watch. I don't have a lot of time right now, and I apologize. I just wanted to. You just seem like a guy that would be somebody I'd like to meet. And based on your answers of your questions, here's what I'd like to do. You have a cell phone, don't you? Do you do text messaging? Yeah, why don't we do this? Let's exchange numbers. I'll shoot you a text. And I've got to go here because I've got some other things I need to get done, and I don't want to hold you up. But if you're really sincere about, you know, making some extra money, I'd like to shoot you a text. I'll get you some information, and then we can set up a time maybe to go to Starbucks, have a cup of coffee or whatever, as you're turning around, walking off, you know, literally, because successful people are on the go. They don't have the fat. So your only goal is to get their name and their phone number and then follow through and do what you said you're going to do, which in the next 15, 20 minutes, rifle them a text, send them all of your information. Hey, really enjoyed meeting you, Frank. And then what would be a good time for us to get together to spend some quality time at the Starbucks to share with you what I was sharing with you in the last conversation that we met. So a little short, sweet, personal note, you know, keep it simple. But remember, you want to spend quality time. You're a word merchant. It's how you structure your words, deliver your words, and the artistry, the canvas that you deliver is your prospect's mind. And so people say, well, nobody's ever asked me to spend any quality time with them. So quality time. Now, a lot of times people would send them their website and refer them to the website, or, you know, maybe try to invite them to a company overview or a business opportunity meeting or whatever, or get them on a three-way call. Look, I want to get belly to belly with this person. I want to get over a cup of coffee with them. I want to break the ice, make a friend, find common ground. The first time I met them, they're a stranger. The second time I meet them, they're an acquaintance. But the third time I meet them, I want to have developed a friend, and I want to also have determined whether or not they are one of the people that I'm going to sponsor in my business. So let me give you another word picture, or draw another word picture in your mind of the importance of who you are in this business. You are Inc. Incorporated. You're on the 70th floor of Trump Tower. You're looking out over the New York skyline in a beautiful conference room with a long oak table with high back leather chairs, and you've got 50 leather chairs there in an empty conference room with Inc. Incorporated on the door with your name on it, and beautiful flowers, chandeliers, oil paintings on the wall, thick carpet, that absolutely stunningly gorgeous view that you look out over the beautiful New York skyline, and all of your chairs are empty. But you have 50 chairs, and in 2 years or 24 months, your goal is to fill each one of those chairs. And everybody that you put in those chairs is the person who's going to write the insurance policy for your success in this business. So who are you going to put in those chairs? Those chairs are your superstars, the people that are like-minded, the people that are money-motivated, goal-directed, strong center of influence, positive center burning desire to succeed, and the glow. Those are the people that you want to put in those chairs. So when you have your yellow notebook, five subject notebook, you want to set a goal over the next 24 months to sponsor 50 people frontline. And this is just me talking. You can follow whatever else you want to talk to with regards to your own personal leadership or whoever might be being taught one way or the other. I'm just sharing my philosophy of setting some personal goals and realistic goals over the next 2 years of putting together your corporate team. And so each individual that you talk to has to be qualified and has to be approved. Remember, you're the casting director in the feature motion picture call success. You're the one who gets to hand pick these people to be on your team, to sit at your corporate table and to be part of your corporate team. And that's the way you should look at it. And so what that allows you to be able to do is once you have an effective approach, and that effective approach allows you to be able then to go fishing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You know, the only thing that you have to overcome is the fear of rejection. The fear of rejection is the one thing you say, well, Lane, I'm not comfortable talking to people. Well, if I was to pay you $1,000 cash and I gave you 100 3x5 index cards and I gave you 48 hours to go out and to ask those questions and to get me the name, address, and phone number and email of each one of those 100 cards, and every one of them that you did, I'd give you 10 crisp $100 bills. How many of those cards in 48 hours do you think you could go out and get filled out? So you see, what happens is that once you have tricked yourself, if you will, and understand that one prospect, one card filled out, one person put in the right seat at your corporate table is far more valuable ever than $1,000. It could be worth literally tens of thousands, if not in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of years to you in revenue. So you just have to understand that everybody that you talk to, the first goal that you want to accomplish is to determine, are they live, are they Memorex? Is this somebody that you want to deal with? Are they going to pass the litmus test for you to be able to determine whether you're going to move forward with them? Do you have the ability to say next and not get that caught up? And can you overcome the fear of rejection by having your own personal goals and fear of failure of your personal goals be more than the fear of failure of talking to somebody and having them say no? Look, if somebody says no and they've got an attitude and they're a doom and gloomer and buzzards are flying around them all over the place, you know, get on down the road. Those people aren't going to make you any money. You're looking for dynamic, enthusiastic, outgoing, expressive people that you love to be around, that are like-minded, that you want to be able to your team. You say, Lane, where are all these people? You got to go out and sift. You got to find, and you got to continue to cast your rod over and over and over and over and over again. You've got to have prospecting consciousness where, like an AWACS airplane, you're on 24/7. You never, ever get off. You're always looking for that person. It could be the garbage guy. It could be the valet parker. You never know who the person is. Never overlook anybody for any reason. You can stop just in a second and ask that person, hey, you know what? I need to ask you a question. Excuse me for asking this, but you sure seem like a person that would be interested in and potentially an entrepreneur. Do you consider yourself a money-motivated person? Have you ever thought of alternative ways of making money? If I could show you how you could earn an extra $2,000 to $3,000 a month working part-time with me in the energy business, would that be pretty exciting? And if they answer positively, yes, 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 then get over a cup of coffee with them, sit down with them, spend some quality time. Don't necessarily drag out the presentation and start showing a bunch of numbers they're not going to understand. You know, start talking about your own personal goals. Share with them, say, look, you know, the reason why I joined Ambit Energy was not only because of this huge transfer of wealth that's going to take place over the next 10 years of, you know, of the deregulation of public utilities, which I'm excited about, and getting paid residual income. But more importantly, I'm excited because there's already been quite a few people, almost 50 people that have earned over $1 million with our business. I know I can earn $1 million because these people come from all walks of life. different races, ethnic backgrounds, different educational backgrounds. And I know if they can do it, I can do it too. But the only thing that I need in order to accomplish that goal is I have to find other people who in turn can join my team, and I can help and they can help me achieve that goal. And that's really the reason why, Frank, we're here at Starbucks today. I need to ask you a question. Have you ever dreamed about becoming a millionaire? And now the back of the question in the back of your mind comes up and say, you're always concerned about, well, are they going to ask me, how much money have you made? Well, I want to answer that. If somebody ever asks you, well, how much money have you made, and you're worried about that question, that's going to be a question that haunts you, that's going to prevent you from sharing the opportunity and sharing who you are, where you're going, how you're going to get there, and what the end result's going to be. You have to start professing with your mouth, with your soul and your heart, that you're going to become a millionaire, and telling everybody in your path that you are. And you're always worried about, well, people are going to say, well, how much money have you made? And you look them square in the eye and you say, I haven't made a dime up to this point, or I've only made $1,000, or I've only made $100, or whatever it might be. You never want to lie to anybody, but you want to look them square in the eye and say, but here's what I do know. Even though I haven't made a dime, or I've only made $1,000 or $100 since I got involved, I have met personally many people that have made not only thousands, but tens of thousands, and other people that have literally made millions of dollars in this industry. And if they can do it, I can do it too. And that's the reason why I'm sitting here, because Ambit Energy has a paint-by-numbers, fill-in-the-blanks, coloring book to success program that allows us, if we'll just become knowledgeable about this business and become a student of the business, we too can also achieve those personal goals. And that's, frankly, why I want you on my team. So that's how you do what I call horse sense selling. You don't have to know the compensation plan. Look, if they don't get that, and people buy what's in people's heart, not what's in their head. Don't try to jazz people up with a bunch of numbers and a bunch of stuff that they're not going to understand anyway. You've got to sell what your goal is first to them, and share with them what your personal dreams are, and then ask them, what are you going to do to become a millionaire? If you had an Aladdin's lamp and you could rub on this sugar bowl right here, or your cup of coffee, and you had three wishes, how would you become a millionaire? What is your plan, if in fact that's something that you want to accomplish? Because I have a specific plan of action that with Ambit that we can make that happen.
You know, I want to jump in real quick, and I have been just taking voracious notes, and I normally take notes, but and I've got just scribbles everywhere and highlights all over my paperwork. Guys, we've got a little bit of time left on the show, but if you're listening to this right now and you didn't have a pen and paper out, here's what I'm going to recommend you do right now. Push the pause button. Okay, go get that notebook that Lane's talking about, that five subject yellow notebook. Get that, rewind this thing, and you start taking notes, because this is unbelievable. And you know, I could see why you like art so much, because you're a very visual person. And a lot of people don't have the vision, and it's biblical, but it talks about without vision, a people will fail. And the reality is that there's a lot of people that aren't good at casting vision. And I can see that you are extraordinary at doing that. And I know that's why you've been so successful. But guys, if you don't have it, you can borrow it, you know, from someone else. As Lane mentioned, you can borrow it from him, and you can take this and you can talk about dreaming. Have you ever dreamed before? You're painting that picture, that metaphorical picture. And then also, if they ask you how much money have you made, you can say, you know, you've been to Ambition. We're going to talk about Ambition before we close the show today. But that's why you need to go to those things, so that you can tell people that, yes, I have met, while I have done X, whatever X is, and be truthful about that, I have met others that have done this, 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 and this. And I know if they can do it, I can do it too. So I just encourage you to really take notes, because this has been a great, great interview so far. But I just wanted to jump in, because I don't want someone to listen to this interview and think, man, Lane was great. That was good stuff. And then you never listen to it again, and you don't have this information, because repetition is the mother of learning. If you don't go over it multiple times, you will not be able to repeat things like he said earlier. You know, do you consider yourself a money-motivated person? You know, have you ever thought of alternative ways to make money? I mean, the things that he went over, that was just my little scribble-scrabble as I was going. So I hate to interrupt there your flow, but man, this is good stuff, and I am so appreciative. As we transition, we probably have another 10, 15 minutes or so. Can you just give us a little talking points on maybe, you know, books that you might recommend or things that you might recommend folks do for personal development and training to get to that next level whenever it's after hours, it's the middle of the night or early in the morning when they can't just call someone?
Well, certainly, you know, you have Ambit University, which has a whole lot of different tutorials in the back that are some people don't even realize exist. And so my suggestion would be, you know, to become a student of the business. And in order to become a student of the business, you have to go back and really start listening to and watching some of the materials and training materials that have already been recorded that are in the back office there in your power zone. That's going to help out tremendously to give you a basic foundation. You know, there's a lot of different authors that you can listen to: Zig Ziglar, Anthony Robbins, Tony Les Brown, Connie Podesta, you know, Norman Vincent Peale, W. Clement Stone. I mean, we can go on and on and on about all the different types of personal growth and development authors. Paul J. Meyer. There's a lot of different people out there that you can pull from that have materials, both CDs and digital downloads that you can listen to while you're exercising. What I'd like to talk a little bit about is not only the library of the people that are out there, which are just phenomenal, but which I've already kind of sortly highlighted or mentioned. I want to talk about the process, because there's a process called spaced repetition internalization of information, doing over and over and over again, which affects the subconscious mind, and then, of course, then affects the conscious mind, which in turn gives you the results that you're looking for in life. And it's so important to understand that you picked up the phone listening to this call today already pre-programmed with regards to what your subconscious mind has internalized as what I call your wealth consciousness. Your wealth consciousness basically is how you think about wealth. And it's easy to lie to ourselves. You know, it's easy to, you know, to be able to say, well, I don't think that way. But in fact, a lot of people do. You know, there's hardly any of us that maybe sometime in our life didn't say, well, look at those people. They surely, you know, they got a bunch of money. They think they're something else. Well, that's a wealth attitude, you know. And what we have to understand, especially, is in today's world right now, with the political situation that's going on in our country, which, by the way, our country is a capitalist country. It's not a socialist country. A capitalism gives you the ability to, you know, get up and, you know, fail over and over and over again, but to get back up and to make it happen. And it's the greatest country on the planet. And if you don't subscribe to being a capitalist, if capitalism is a bad word to you, you're never going to become filthy, stinking rich for all the right reasons. And what I mean for all the right reasons is, you know, is that there's one thing making money for all the wrong reasons, but if you have really good personal goals, dreams, and aspirations, and things that you want to do ultimately in a philanthropic standpoint, then you have to have and develop a wealth consciousness. And spaced repetition is listening to over and over and over, hearing, seeing, and doing over and over and over and over and over again until it becomes a reflex of thought. Just like the approach question, you will never ever become a master prospector until you effectively internalize an approach that you're comfortable with. Use your own approach, create your own approach, but come up with some approach that allows you to cast out there. And the example that I use is, you know, whether you're a batter, whether you're a football player throwing a touchdown, whether you're going to dunk a basketball or you're Tiger Woods making that long putt, you know, it's through the repetition that allows you to be able to go from a conscious thought to a subconscious thought, of a reflexive thought, to where, you know, it's like the sergeant, you know, that tells the new recruit, you know, to clean his gun over and over and over and over and over again. And the Marines, and he asked him, well, Sarge, I already cleaned my gun 100 times. Why do I need to clean it again? Well, the reason why you need to clean it again is when you're down in the trenches and you're in the middle of the night and it's raining and you're taking fire and your gun jams, you're going to want to know how to do it when you can't see what you're doing. It's got to be a reflexive thought. And when you can get prospecting down and an approach question down to where you're that good at it, I can drop you out of an airplane anywhere in the United States, and you will never, ever tell me, I don't know nobody. I can't prospect anybody. I can't get anybody into my business. I can't get any quality people. Why am I not being successful in the business? Once again, I'd rather be a master prospector than a wizard of speech and have no one to tell my story to. What is our story? We have one of the greatest stories, and it will be documented as one of the greatest stories in American capitalism. Ambit Energy is truly going to build and is now building a dynasty. We're going into our 10th year as a company. This means that you are participating in one of the greatest American success stories ever. And are you going to be on the sideline complaining about it? Are you going to be sitting on the bench? Are you going to be in there throwing some touchdowns? And in order to throw a touchdown, in order to become a great player, whether it be in the NBA or the NFL or whatever sport you might be participating or in or is your favorite sport, you know that there's repetition involved in procedure. You know, it's like Vince Lombardi when he walked into the locker room after they won the Super Bowl and said, gentlemen, this is a football. It's that simplicity. It's that keeping it simple, stupid, that is so important to our business. So you have to keep it simple. And the approach question is the key that unlocks the door to the success in your business, because if you never have any prospects and you never run out of prospects, then you've always got somebody to tell the story to, and we have a story that allows them to be able to be introduced into this huge transfer of wealth that's taking place right now. It's only going to happen once in our lifetime. It happened once in telecommunications. It's happening once now in the deregulation of public utilities. And it's those people that will ride this tsunami to the beach that will become some of the wealthiest people in direct sales in the history of this industry in this country.
Well, Lane, I'll tell you what, this has been an unbelievable episode of Ambitious Radio and Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50. I typically don't go back and listen to them over and over again because, you know, I'm there going through it and I've got my notes and everything, so I listen to it that way. But I can't wait to get this one produced and then go back and listen to it multiple times, because there were nuggets that were dropped on me today that I had either never heard before or it had been a long time. And so that space repetition, that is great information, and you just do it over and over and over again until you get to the point where it's unconsciously competent, where you don't even know how you know it, but you know it. That is good stuff. I just, any closing thoughts that you might have as we kind of wrap up the show?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your leadership and, you know, doing what you're doing. This is something that benefits a lot of people. You'll be blessed for it. And I really appreciate you being blind to downlines and making this leadership contribution both to the company and to the field. And it will pay great. So great kudos. My hat's off to you. Secondly, I want to also kind of share another visual for you. You know, Ambit Energy basically is a Formula One race car. It's a Lamborghini, a Testarossa, a Maserati, an F50 Ferrari. It'll go 220 miles an hour, and it'll take the checkered flag every time. But there's a couple of things that have to happen in order for any Formula One car to win a race, and especially win the Grand Prix. And that is, number one, first and foremost, the car and the driver have to have a great pit crew. There's never been a Formula One race that's ever been won where the pit crew didn't play an integral part in that race and the success of that race and that car winning that race and that driver winning that race. What is our pit crew? The pit crew is exactly what you're doing. Field leadership, corporate leadership, to make sure that the car is running properly, that we've been able to be tested, taken around the track, that the familiarization of the track is there, constantly adjusting the shock, so to speak, the engine, making sure that everything is fine-tuned and prepared for the race. And that's what Ambit Corporate does, and that's what the field leadership does. They're there to help you to become successful. So tap into that. Understand the value and appreciation for what corporate's field leadership and corporate leadership does for all of us to keep that car running at its highest efficiency. But I will say this, that you as the driver, or us as the driver, you know, what is it that's important? Well, the driver, there's a couple of things. Number one, we have to have a key to start the engine. And that means that we have to start our business. We have to get our business started. We have to take action in order for anything to happen. You can't just sit idly by and watch things, go by and not take advantage each and every day of a little bit of something that you could be doing towards moving towards your personal goals in the business. But most importantly, besides the key starting the engine, you have to have fuel in the fuel tank. And you have to have a high-octane fuel. And that high-octane fuel is your personal goals, dreams, and aspirations. That is the fuel that really drives the car, if you look at it that way. Then you will see the importance of spending some quality time getting off by yourself with your Yellow 5 subject notebook, taking one of the subjects out of that notebook and getting a pencil or a pen, preferably a pencil even, and then a pen, because you can change your goals, you can erase your goals, you can modify your personal goals. But write out your family goals, your financial goals, your health goals, your spiritual goals, your recreational goals, your health goals. Write out all of those goals. And in doing so, what that's going to do, if you sit down and spend quality time and then reevaluate those over a period of time, that's going to give you the fuel to where then you can start to crystallize your thinking. You know, think about the infinity pool and your leather Italian couch that you might want to have in your sunken living room, and what type of beautiful backyard that you want, and whether you want an RV or you want a Harley Davidson there, maybe some jet skis to go with the kids. I don't know what you want, but I do know this. The more you visualize it, the more you put together your dream board and you start to live your dream, the more and more you're going to see that Ambit Energy will certainly help you to take the checkered flag of life. And you'll win that race of life because we are in the most unbelievable high-performance financial opportunity that is ever or financial vehicle, if you will, that is like, and I'm so excited with all the leadership in this company side as well as the field side. And I look forward to doing some great things for you in the future too as well, Doug. So thank you so much for having me on the call.
Yes, sir. And thank you for carving time out of your very, very busy day. And I look forward to seeing you at Ambition here in a few weeks. And while we're talking about Ambition, guys, I was on a call a little earlier today with Daryl Starkweather, and I heard him talking about the amount of money that folks make that attend Ambition. And it's something like 70% more money is made for the attendees of Ambition. And he went through kind of the progression of regional consultants and senior consultants and then executive consultants. And it's just amazing how much of a difference it makes when you are involved, engaged. And I'm sure it has something to do with that space repetition that Lane had shared with us about being around the excitement and the knowledge that you gain from being at these events. So I highly recommend that if you are serious at all about this opportunity, that you, if you're not already registered, go get registered, carve out the time, spend the time at the hotels, you know, where you can have some side conversations with the leaders as they're walking around and those kinds of things. Get registered. It's coming up on Labor Day weekend, and it's going to be Ambition X, Ambition 10, the 10th anniversary. It's going to be very, very engaging. They've already made several announcements, and I'm just excited about it. So can't wait to see what's going on there. Once again, Lane, thank you so much for your time. And guys, remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.